Well, we're back. It's,
You sound so enthusiastic.
I feel like that's my shtick now. It's like,
It's like you're the one without the energy.
I'm the one without the energy. I'm the one... So, we were talking before about, you know, how you really don't have to be talented anymore.
Right.
To get anywhere.
Right.
Now, that still kind of begs the question, what the fuck's wrong with our show? Because...
Our show...
What the fuck?
Well, our show is very hard to classify, I feel. I mean, it's really hard to listen to this and to know if we have any talent at all, really.
I mean, like, this day and age, that shouldn't even really matter. Because, you know, in the age of, like, social media, TikTok, all this shit, where people just post themselves going to the bathroom, whatever the fuck, and they get, like, 30 million views.
Right, right.
You know, it's not about talent anymore. It's just about...
Right.
I don't know. I don't even
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we just discussed, I have another podcast besides this one, and I get, you know, I get plays on that one. I don't know who those people are.
Right.
The one that we did together got 16 plays.
Right.
And we just looked at our stats. We get half of that. But I feel like this is the more entertaining one. I really do.
Right.
The other one is serious.
I feel like life is, like, cursed me.
Oh, yeah. I blame you for everything.
It's me, because, like, life is, like...
But life
says to me, dude, I'm going to keep you alive.
Right.
I'm not going to let you have any fun. I'm not going to let you get anywhere.
Right.
You're going to just... You're going to have potential within you.
Right.
But things just aren't going to work for some reason.
Right, right. But I actually think that I'm more cursed than you are.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. First of all, let's look at the evidence. Okay? I have many, many less summers than you.
Right.
I could die any second now. Okay? So that's number one. And I haven't accomplished anything in my life. Like I've done some plays. Nobody gives a shit.
Right.
Like, if I die, which could happen any day now...
It can happen to me, too.
It can happen to you, too, but the chances are, not that it's a competition, right. You're probably going to outlive me.
Okay.
Okay? I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm ready to go. I don't care anymore, you know?
Okay.
But in terms of being cursed, like, I feel exactly the same way that you. I feel like I have potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God has blessed me with certain, you know, some talent. But I live alone in fucking Princeton, New Jersey. I drive old people for a living. I go to places where women exist. Like, I could smell them. Like, I can picture them naked. I don't see them naked. I don't touch them.
Right.
I'm like a toy in a china shop or something. You know, like
toy.
I'm God is like, here. You could be around a woman, but you can't touch her.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's a curse.
You're telling me about you went to the comedy show lately.
Yeah,
and you had an experience where, like, one of the guys there was, like, totally bombed. We won't name him obviously, but it was, like, totally bombed. And yet,
right.
You tell me he's married to, like, a hot wife.
And he actually
has, like, some level of success. And it's like,
well, he works in a bank. He works in a bank and he does comedy on the weekends. And he has a podcast that is awful. He probably has, like, less listeners than we do. So just because he has a wife, I still would want to be me rather than him.
I mean, you said he was also on some other person's podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, but the other person was in Miami, and she's probably works for a bank, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think anything about, if you saw this guy, no matter, even if he does bang his wife, which he probably doesn't really do that anymore, because, you know, once you get married, you don't bang, really.
Right.
So, I think in theory, you're jealous of this guy, but if you saw him in person, you'd be like, oh, I'm glad I'm Ryan and not this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will do a podcast with him, because I want to associate myself with people that are less off, better, worse off than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way that I can feel good about myself right now.
I can see that. It's kind of comforting to, like, be able to express that. I think that's
the nature of our relationship. Like, we're both losers,
right?
And we both aren't threatened by the other person. And so that's the only reason. This is why we don't talk to other people. Like, we're like the two guys on the Muppet Show. On the balcony. And we're just like, we're just like looking at life through our little podcast. You know? Yeah. And I do try to go out more than you. I do try to, right. But I mean, last night I was very much aware of my mortality and my aloneness, you know. I was very much, you know, I went to a meetup group and I sat alone. Like I didn't want to be with anybody else in the meetup group, you know. They were all ugly and loserish.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, but I relate to what you said, you know. Like, I almost had sex last week with a certain comedian that we won't mention. Mm. I go to the comedy club.
Right.
And, you know, two horrible, we just mentioned two of them, but without the names.
Yeah.
They bombed. And then finally this woman comes on and she's really good. She was good. I mean, compared to them, she was like, you know, Sarah Silver. She was amazing compared to the... She did 55 minutes because
she did 55 minutes?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because she had to save the night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could tell that people were feeling suicidal. Like, the two people were so bad. So she did 55 minutes, and not all of it was great, but she was confident enough to pull it off. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of hot, you know? And then I talked to her afterwards. I kind of, like, you know, and she does that thing that women do around me. Like, they kind of... They do this very, like, embracing and dismissing at the same time.
Uh-huh.
You know what that means? So it's kind of like she'll look at me, she might laugh a little bit. No, she did this thing that Ashley Kerr did an episode once about. Like, remember the episode where Larry's with a woman and she goes, LOL? She goes, LOL. She laughed out loud, but she doesn't really laugh.
Oh, yeah.
And it drives him insane.
Yeah.
So this is what this woman did. Like, every time I said something that was kind of funny, she goes, that's funny. But she wouldn't laugh. Huh. And then I actually brought it up to her. I said, look, look, woman, as a comedian, you should know that the actual laughter is more rewarding than actually saying that's funny. When you say that's funny, then I feel like I'm not funny.
Uh-huh.
That's like if she had an orgasm and she goes, I just had an orgasm. Mm-hmm. Instead of actually going, oh, I'm having an orgasm. Like, so,
did you actually say that part to her?
It was implied.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so, and then she looks at me dead in the eye, and she goes, when a comedian says that's funny, that's actually a compliment. And she says that with a dead cold stare, like a Terminator stare. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't tell right now if this conversation is actually flattering or not. You know, she liked me, but she was also being dismissive. But like, I felt, did you ever talk to a woman and you start to feel more and more insecure as the conversation went on? Like, you start, like...
It's been a long time, but, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was feeling secure because she was talking to me, and she was making eye contact once in a while.
Right.
But then, she would be, like, dismissive, and, like, not laughing, and kind of looking away, and that's even... See, I couldn't tell where I was. I knew she stayed in the hotel. Like, comedians, mm-hmm. when they perform at the same place for two nights, they stay in a room. They get a free room.
Right.
So I knew that all I needed to do is end up in her room.
Right.
And they would probably have sex. Right. We're not going to, like, just sit there and smoke cigarettes, you know, and stare at the window.
Right.
So I feel like, okay, I'm putting in the work. Like, you know, she's saying that's funny without laughing, and that's kind of hurting my feelings. But, yeah, and then this other comedian... just shows up out of nowhere, and he just starts talking and talking and talking and talking. Like, literally, I mean, he has a penis. He knows that I'm trying. And then literally after 2 hours, it felt like 2 hours. We were outside.
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock. It was 2 o'clock.
Oh, you're outside. Okay.
Yeah, we made it. She because she smokes.
Oh, okay.
So, and I was so tempted to actually have a cigarette, you know?
Yeah.
So he's talking and talking and talking. He finally says, okay, well, I'll leave you guys alone. This is like after an hour of him monopolizing the conversation. Now it's 2 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I could just tell that she wants to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So I managed to see her the next morning. I go all the way home, sexless, thinking that, you know how when you think you might have sex, you start to get excited. You have like semi erections.
Right.
Like there's a little tent happening, you know.
Oh yeah.
But no, and then I don't want to jerk off when I get home because maybe I'll have sex with her in the morning.
Naturally, yeah.
So then I don't jerk off, and then I go all the way back there in the morning, and then the other guy that bombed is sitting there, like, she's not even there. She's texting with that guy, and so he's telling me, oh, so she's going to be here in about 20 minutes. Let's go to the buffet table. Uh-huh. So now I'm stuck alone with this zombie guy. We're having scrambled eggs. It cost me $28 because it's like a very expensive hotel. And then finally she shows up without makeup. And, you know, whatever. We did text a little bit throughout the day. But she lives in Boston. I'm never going to see her again.
Yeah.
So, but you know, like, I haven't, you know, this whole thing is just a waste. It's not even a story. It's like a waste of time. You know, it's a waste of time.
We killed a lot of time,
Well, yeah.
So far, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. But this podcast is not, I really want to learn. Like, I don't want to just kill time on this podcast. Right. I'm gonna actually.
No. So what did you learn from the experience?
What I learned was that God curses me constantly. He sits there and laughs at me. I learned that I should stay away from whiny Jews. I could say that because I'm Jewish, so I'm not being anti-Semitic. But this guy was very Jewy and whiny.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, I'm a Jew, but I don't whine. I don't whine. I don't feel like I whine all the time, you know? Right. I mean, maybe now I feel like I'm whining because I'm whining. But, I mean, this guy, I mean, he clearly knew that I was talking to this woman. Like, and he's, everything that he said, he could have said in 1 second. Like, please, yeah. He wanted to get lessons from her, comedy lessons, which he needs badly because he bombs real bad. You know, he's got the same joke over and over again, and it doesn't work, and he's still. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over.
Oh, yeah, expecting different results, yeah.
Yeah, and this guy says the same joke every week, expecting, like, someone to laugh. So, you know, it's just like, so that's what I learned. I learned to stay away from you know, and like you read the room, you know, read the room. Like, I don't, if we were in a situation where you're talking to a woman and she's into you, you're into her, I wouldn't, like, I'm not going to start saying, hey, guess what? I grew up in Israel and I just start talking about myself. I wouldn't do that to you.
Right.
I would let you do your thing, you know?
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would also return the favor.
Yeah. I mean, because you could read the room.
Yeah. That's also easy for me not to engage in conversation with people.
It is easy for you not to engage in conversation with people. Yes.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my tragic flaws, actually.
Well, I think that it could be an advantage, you know? Like, I drive these crazy passengers all day long, and I told you just half an hour ago that I perfect... This week, even more so than usual, I was very, very inward.
Right.
You know? This fucking woman today, I think she's into black or white, you know? I'm not sure. I know her name is Zill. Zill.
Okay.
So she's like, I pick her up. She looks like 200 years old. Seriously. She's like, she's hobbling on a cane. Like, you know, the whole thing is like a train wreck. So then she gets into the car. And then she says to me, you know, are we going by a Wawa? British market. Wawa is a convenience store.
It's an awesome convenience store here on the East Coast of the United States. I believe it's been expanding as a company.
As a franchise?
I'm not sure if like each individual store is a franchise.
Well,
but the whole company, it's expanding. Like, it used to be like just New Jersey,
right.
Now it's kind of going out into Pennsylvania a little bit. So, British Mark, if you're ever in New Jersey,
right, which I don't recommend that you do this.
Make sure you go to Wawa.
Now, Wawa, it's such a horrible name. Like, it's
but
like,
it's memorable. It's so stupid, but it's memorable.
It's so stupid, but it's memorable. It's like, but it's like a half empty urination, like Wawa. I don't know, like, who came up with that name?
I don't know.
It's certainly not like the mayor of New Jersey. It was like, we have
a cup of coffee from that place. I've had many.
Sure,
cup of coffee.
Sure, but I mean, 7-Eleven is an okay name for a convenience store.
Right, that was actually my birth weight.
7-Eleven?
7 pounds 11 ounces.
Really?
Yeah.
My birth weight was Wawa.
Yeah, wow.
Touche. Yeah, the doctor looked at my birth rate and said, oh, wow. What a stupid joke. But how do you know this, that your birth
rate? My mom told me.
I guess she would know.
Yeah, she was there.
She gave birth to you?
Yeah.
Huh, I don't know what my birth rate was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I should know this. I feel like my penis was so big when I came out.
Logically, yeah.
You know, that it was probably askew. But anyway.
My dick was probably like regular baby size.
Yeah, probably. Which is what it should be.
Right.
7-11. So what does that mean? 7 pounds, 11 ounces?
Yep.
All right. I feel like that's a good...
That was a good healthy weight of a baby. Then I ballooned out when I was a kid. And then
If I came out of a woman's vagina right now, she would probably die at birth. I would probably, like, just my face alone, like, would just, like, would just, like, just destroy her womb.
Well, I'm pretty sure, like, that's one of the reasons why, like, they give birth and they do, because the baby's, like, big enough and it can't sustain itself, like, within it.
Right. It would be really amazing.
Body anymore, so.
Do you think a woman ever gave birth to a fully grown adult?
No.
Like a Chris Farley just coming out.
Oh, my God.
You know, like a John Candy. sorry, I ate a lot of asparagus when I was in the womb.
Oh, man.
That would be a good SNL skit.
That'd be interesting to look up, like, what was the heaviest baby ever?
Yeah, yeah, certainly, because 7-Eleven is in the median. That's a medium.
That's like an average, like, weight.
Yeah. I feel like I was probably a small baby. Like, I've seen pictures of me as a baby. They're not very intimidating, you know?
Right.
I had, like, glasses and a hat.
As a baby?
I came out like Popeyes. Like Sweepy, you know? Hi. so Wawa.
Wawa.
God damn. Like, where are we? Okay. How do we
get... I don't even know what else we can get from
that. I don't know. But we could do this. We've been here before where we just went completely...
Well, I did want to make mention, kind of... taking a detour for a second.
Right.
You know, in the States, we have 4th of July coming up.
Yes.
Next week.
Yes. Big holiday.
Big holiday here in the States. And,
right.
You know, we're talking, you know, like, we're, you know, British Mark, you know, you have July 4th as a date, but I don't imagine that.
Right.
You have Independence Day because, you know, it's not exactly like a lot of people, especially nations, would celebrate their losses in such a grand, spectacular
fashion. Right, because that would be sad and depressing.
Right. So
I don't think England as a whole has an Independence Day.
I mean, they might have, like, a loss. I mean, like, well, I guess it'd be, like...
I mean, every day they go to the pub. Like,
right.
Like, they mourn their loss. But didn't they win over Ireland or something?
I don't know.
We have to really, you know, before we open our mouths.
I remember they had a lot of territory. Like, they had, they had some sort of, like, ownership over India or something like that.
Yeah. And they had ownership over America, too, right?
Right. Like, we escaped.
Tyranny.
Right.
Right. Right.
Which that was whole. Yeah, I'm not.
I know. My history is real bad. Like, yeah. I grew up in Israel, so I know more about, like, Israeli history than...
Right.
I should know more about this.
I just didn't... Like, I found it. I find history interesting. I actually read a book, 1776, that was about, like, George Washington. It was a really good read.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, if you don't constantly... It's like, you know the basics, but if you don't constantly read up, it's like, it's easy to forget.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's dry information.
It's dry information. It's like, who's got the time?
So, like, celebrating... Like, if England celebrated an Independence Day, the analogy would be, like, me celebrating someone's anniversary without me getting married. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would be, like, I'm sort of in the vicinity because I'm alive, but I'm not really married, so I have no business celebrating somebody's anniversary.
Right.
You know, it would be, like, so... but it's also ironic that the 4th of July, this week it's happening on a Tuesday, and I'm always, me personally, you know... because I am me, you know.
Right.
I'm usually, unfortunately, surrounded by my own family on Independence Day, which makes me feel very unindependent. Because when I'm around my family, I feel very unindependent.
Right.
But the opposite of independent is, I don't know, dependent? Like,
dependent.
I feel very...
Dependent on your family.
I
this year is a little bit different because, you know, Bobby's not going to be... Like,
well, I'm forced to go. I usually am forced to go upstate New York. I mean, this sounds very elitist because my family does have houses in upstate New York.
Right.
But for me, you know, it sounds on paper like a fun experience. It's not, because it's I'm surrounded by family, and I can, you know,
like, if you were up there by yourself, like, not with them, it'd be different.
If I was by myself, I could invite you to show up there. You'd probably have a good time.
Okay,
you
know, man.
It would be like the last season of Dexter, which wasn't very good, but the setting of a small town was kind of
appealing. I loved that setting.
Right, yeah. The setting, right. So, except... Yeah, so it's a very, like, it's small town America, you know, the town has one pharmacy, one gas station, mm-hmm. one, you know, and, like, surrounded by lakes everywhere. It's like, it feels creepy, but it's also beautiful at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, rivers where people, like, get drunk and fall into the river and die.
I would actually blend it well up there, because, like...
You would.
That's actually one of those things where it's, like, you know, I say that... I don't mean to interrupt, but because I won't remember to say this.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, I often say how I don't really care to have, like, casual conversation, but...
Right.
I feel like I actually would fit in a place like that, because when you're in a small town, everyone knows your name. It's like, cheers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually would do well there. I actually would have, like, no problem, like, having conversations with the locals and all that.
Right. I feel it's not that different from where you live now, except it's more Americana, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's at Ringo's, like, where I'm from. Ringo's is not, like, a town you walk around in.
Right. It's isolated.
It's isolated. Right. But, like, I feel like small town USA, that'd be different.
Yeah. It's very weird, you know? I mean, it's very nature... Around, you know, you're very
kind of like Twin Peaks.
You're very aware of it's a kind of place where a murder would happen.
Nice,
you know, you're very aware of nature. But see, what you just said, it's kind of a double edged sword, you know, because I do know the people there because I go there every year and I've been there going since I was, you know, 50 years,
mm-hmm.
60 years, even though I'm only 35, it's weird,
right? Somehow you're younger than me now.
Yeah, well, I am getting younger, you know. The less sex I have, the younger I get.
Totally contradicts yourself from before when you said you're close to death, but okay.
I can be closer to death and younger than you at the same time. It's not a contradiction.
Sure, okay.
So, you know, there is something interesting about what you said because on one hand, it is comforting to know people that you've known all your life and you don't see for the whole year. And they're like, hey, you know, and you know, it's Alfred Tell, you know, who's now 85, but you've known him since he was 55. But on the other hand, sometimes you have to, you know, sometimes it's uncomfortable because, like, because you know you're going to the lake and you have to engage in conversation.
Right.
Where I just don't really want to. So I have very mixed feelings. Like, when I go to this lake, which is a very small area, it's like social city, you know? Like, I have to, like, I swim a lot to get away from people. And the water is fucking freezing.
Right.
I'm not happy swimming. You know, and there's, like, turtles biting my legs and there's a raft. And then sometimes I'll be on the raft, and then some guy will swim just to talk to me, and then I swim to the other raft. Like, as social as it can be, I don't like to be social on command.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this podcast, we decide when we're talking and when we're not talking, you know?
That's right.
So it's very odd, and the more that I talk to people, the more I'm going to say something stupid, you know, like... You know, last year I said something very offensive to a woman who never, I'm going to have to see her this year as well. Her name, she's fucking weird, okay? Her name is, she's like a hippie. Her name is Moon.
Oh, yeah, I think you
did. Did I say this?
I think.
Maybe I said this a year ago. Who
maybe,
knows?
Yeah.
But the gist of the story is, like, you know, we have, you know, this community has meetings. It's very stupid. Like, they have meetings online and they talk about, like, storage space on the lake and whose canoe goes where. It's like stupid little community shit.
Oh yeah,
it's ridiculous, but it's kind of funny because they take it so seriously.
It's like home. It's like a lot of, like,
it's like if you have roommates,
like homeowners association or something.
Yeah,
like that.
It's like if you had roommates and you had, okay, we have a family a house meeting,
mm-hmm.
which is about stupid shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman Moon. She, I watched this meeting. I didn't participate in it because I don't care and I have nothing to say. But I just decided to watch it one day because it's just so funny to see these people. There's, like, a president and a vice president. It's ridiculous. So and then they're all taking turns, like, oh yeah, according to the statistic, you know, this is crazy. So this person Moon, you know, she said something that sounded, to my ears, kind of smart.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure what she said, but it sounded smart. So cut to the next scene where I'm swimming in the lake and she's swimming in the lake. And I say, hey, Moon, you actually sounded pretty intelligent today or something. So she took it to mean like that I always think she's dumb, which I guess I kind of meant.
That's very easy to assume from those words. Yeah.
And then, you know, so, and I don't really care about Moon's feelings, you know, but I meant it as a compliment. I meant that she sounded intelligent.
I do want to avoid any like uncomfortable like confrontations.
So. I mean, I kind of enjoy it at the same... It's like a curb your enthusiasm.
Yeah, you
like,
kind of enjoy it, but you also kind of want to avoid it at the same time.
Well, I got a lot of mileage out of that, because now every time I see Moon, like, she's like, oh, are you waiting for me to say something intelligent? You know, like and that came up a lot last summer. So now if I swim in the lake and I see her, she'll be like, hey, I'm the smart one over here. You know, like, this is a thing now. And, you know, it's just like... There's a lot of interactions like that. That's not the only one. You know, if people are going to engage in conversation with me, then they take the risk of me saying something silly, offensive, or stupid, and I can't help it because that's my personality. Like, I don't like to have conversations about, like, linear topics for more than 10 minutes. Like, right? Like, what'd you do this year? Oh, well, I did a few plays, and then I got a promotion at work. Like, that kind of conversation makes me sick.
Right. I like to have those kind of conversations, but also add my...
twist.
Dry type flair to
right.
it, you know?
Right. Well, and that's my version of being dry and twisted, is saying... You sounded intelligent today for a change. You know, that's my version. See, but I'm always misunderstood. I'm always like, you know, people don't understand me. It happens to the brilliant people. You know, like I did a podcast this week that's probably gonna backfire on me. You know, like
right.
I did a podcast with a woman on my other on Thoughts Maybe Feelings.
Right.
A woman is about to marry into our family. She's in that love phase. She's 28 years old. Her whole world is ahead of her. I can't stand that kind of mentality.
Oh, yeah.
I'm jaded and sexless. So, but I could tell that she has a sense of humor. So I decided that I'm going to be, this could be funny. Like I could be very asshole-ish and try to ruin her relationship, you know, like on the air.
Right.
And like, and I was hoping that by the end of the 50 minutes, she'll second guess her relationship, and then I won't have to go to the wedding, which is in Connecticut. And
right.
So that was my idea. But she was so nice that my asshole tendencies started, I was still an asshole, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't find a footing, you know, like I couldn't I really wanted to make fun of her the worst possible way.
Yeah, it could be difficult when they're actually like genuinely.
She was. So like, I feel defeated.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very like sometimes a person is so nice that there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
I just hope that something terrible, like some horrible tragedy, happens that will change. I mean, not that she's. I don't want her to die or anything. But I hope, you know, I like how long can she retain that youthful optimism, you know?
Well, so one of the good things is, you know, when you see someone who's young, and I think one of the reasons I'm so fucked up is because people who were older than me when I was younger, they took all their bullshit out on me, and it wore me down, and it made me the person I am today. That's
right.
One of the things.
Right.
So it's just one of those things where, like, when you're older, you're like, yeah, that person's young, they're happy, but you know what? All they have to do is get a little older, experiences, and they're just...
Right.
It's just going to go downhill.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I hope so. She wore a hat, too, which was just very disarming. You know, she had that sort of... She's blonde.
Mm.
Somehow, around a blonde, I kind of feel a little like... Yeah, blonde women...
This is gonna be good. Let's hear this pearl of wisdom here.
Well, I've dated, you know, out of all the, I think I've dated more blondes than brunettes.
Right.
So I can say this with some authority.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot more blondes than you think.
Yeah.
You know? I feel blonde women, there's a sense of you know, that whole blondes have more fun. There's sort of a sense of, like, not innocence and not stupidity. I don't mean to say that they're stupid. but there's a sense of like they could be a little stupid because they're blonde, you know. There's a
naive.
Sort of
naivete.
Yeah, there's a certain innocence, a certain playfulness that brunettes seem. It's just a generalization. I know it's a generalization, but brunettes seem to be more down to earth and a little bit more serious.
Mm.
You know, they're just in general. So. Which, you know, between the two, I prefer the blonde. I prefer to be with somebody a little stupid, you know? I mean, not that blondes are stupid.
Oh, okay, right.
But, she's not stupid. And in fact, she actually told me that she was, you know, she was shy in high school. She wasn't the cheerleader. Like, I painted her out to be this cheerleader type, but she's really not. I kind of, like, that's another thing that she kind of burst my bubble. You know, I was gonna totally make fun of her cheerleading. And she's like, no, I didn't have any friends in high school. And I'm like, oh, great. See, now I'm the bully. Now I'm the asshole.
You know? I think kind of funny. She brought up a picture. And it was like her, like with glasses, like acne, like 300 pounds, braces.
Yeah.
Been like,
yeah.
No, let's just stop this right now because I was gonna destroy you for the next half. I know. I can't do that now.
No, it's true. Like halfway through the podcast, I had to sort of retreat.
Yeah.
Like, my whole, like, line of attack.
Yeah.
And it just turned out to be kind of, you know, an earnest... It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be an earnest conversation.
Yeah.
Which is not what I was going for.
Yeah.
You know, I still called the podcast, like, you know, I couldn't ruin her engagement. That was, right. You know. So, but it taught me... I don't know what lesson it taught me, but, like, I need to do a podcast with somebody much less stupider than me, you know, so I could totally, like, manipulate the conversation, you know, because I couldn't do that with her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, it's out there. It's out there. And, you know, and once you do a podcast, it doesn't seem, like, there's a lot of, like, you put a lot of weight. Like, I have a lot of, like, oh, my God, this has to be the right question. This has to be, like, the right topics. But then at the end of the day, who gives a shit, you know? Like, so
right.
So now it's been 2 days. I mean, I felt a little bit of pressure because I thought my family would actually listen to this. My family doesn't listen to my podcast, you know? My family views me as this freak, you know?
Right.
Which I am, you know? But this had a chance to be heard by them because she's marrying into the family. We're all going to the fucking wedding. So... but now I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care. I don't care. So I'm trying to think about Wawa. We were going somewhere with Wawa.
I don't think we were.
No, we were. We were. That, were we? Trust me, my friend. I brought it up, right? Okay, so fuck. This is like 30 minutes ago. No. Okay. I was saying British Mark. Like,
go to Wawa if you're ever in New Jersey. That was pretty much the crux of what I was getting at.
Right.
Because Wawa is awesome.
But why did I bring up Wawa though?
I was
talking about the stand up comedy, and then God damn it, like I don't know. It came up. Oh, anyway, all right. Well, I don't know. We'll have to call that a loss.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, a loss. A loss.
That's all right.
Yeah, I do have.
I have notes.
I have notes. I'll give you a choice.
Okay.
All right. Cock blocking. We talked about.
Right.
The Jew cock blocking me. Zill. Oh, Zill goes to Wawa. Okay. So this woman, I pick her up. Right. She's black, white. We're not sure.
Oh, right.
Her name is Zill. So I pick her up, and she goes. Is there a Wawa along the way? You know, and this is like, you know, I've already done like 7 trips. And
yeah.
So I'm like, you know, and we're not really supposed to stop besides the destination, you know? And she's about to die. She's like, you know, she goes, it's so terrible not to have a car. You lose your sense of independence. I'm like, all right. I said, if we pass a Wawa, I mean, I'm not being nice because I... The more whiny she gets, the more I don't want to help her.
Yeah.
I'm like, if we pass a Wawa along... So, of course, I do it for her. I do find a Wawa. You know, and then by the... And she goes, I'll be so quick. Okay, now it takes her 10 minutes to get out of the car because she's 300 years old. I'm like, you'll be quick? She goes, yeah. And okay, you sit there, and I'm going to go in. You know, she gets out in like 10 minutes. And I'm literally like pushing her out of the car. You know, it's just like that's the story. You know, like and then I have to wait like 15 minutes, because she has to pick out what
15 she, or 50?
1-5.
1-5. Okay.
But, yeah, she has to pick her like whatever dentures that she needs from the old person's aisle. Whatever the fuck she, you know, and then she goes to the old woman's aisle at the Wawa, and then she probably waits online. It's like, the ride provider's waiting for me, you know, and then I'm waiting for Zill. You know, I'm waiting for Zill. Like, I lost 20 minutes out of my life just being nice to her, you know? And I don't... I told you I'd be quick. Yeah, quick. That was like a whole episode of, like, Wheel of Fortune. Like 30 minutes.
Jesus.
By the way, Wheel of Fortune... Wheel of Fortune is going off the... as there's a new host, by
new
the
host,
way.
Ryan Seacrest, right.
Yeah. So this... Ryan Seacrest, British Mark, is a guy...
he probably knows who Ryan Seacrest is.
I don't think he does.
Oh, no?
I don't think he does. I think it's a very American thing.
Oh, is it really?
Like, I don't think he has a show in England.
Oh, right.
So Ryan Seacrest is this, you know, very unassuming, not very tall, not even very good-looking guy. For some reason, he's the only guy that gets jobs in the media now.
Right.
he's got like every talk show, every possible job in the media is Ryan Seacrest. And right. He's not even that good.
Right.
Like, I don't understand this like Ryan Seacrest fixation. And Wheel of Fortune, all you have to do is turn letters.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen the show, but I'm assuming that you just have to guess like phrases.
Right.
Like I went to Wawa.
Right.
You know, you have to like turn the letter.
Exactly.
And so I'm upset about this. Like, why is he the only guy that gets jobs?
He's got a proven track record.
I guess he's got a radio show.
He's got a built-in audience.
I guess. Yeah. But I mean, you could do it. You could be Wheel of Fortune.
I could, but people probably like, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like it's the show itself has a built-in fan base.
Yeah. Right. 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 The housewives that watch
right
like game shows.
Right.
I guess in Britain they have game shows. I don't know.
Right. It's called British Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Tea or something. You know?
Right.
By the way, British Mark had posted on Facebook this. First of all, he complimented us about our last episode.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, British Mark.
Yes. We don't remember what we said. I think we established that you're not a shoplifter. But you, he, apparently when you're married, you have to say happy birthday to your wife on Facebook. So that's what that was his post.
Oh.
Have you seen a picture of his wife?
I don't know.
I'll show you.
Okay.
She's her name is Sonia.
Uh-huh. She definitely is not a fan of us.
No, I wouldn't go that far. I think she's not a fan of me. She didn't want to house me.
Right.
But I don't think she's heard our show. Like, I mean, I bet that if she heard our show, she wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Our show is only appealing to British Mark. I think he's heard. Well, we've had 7 listeners from the last episode. Okay, this is British Mark, and that's her. And that's some kind of British Ocean. Pretty attractive.
You're a lucky man, British Mark.
Now, British Mark looks happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's lucky. She might be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, I know she makes him do the dishes.
I don't know.
And this is... I have pictures of me with every comedian possible. Did you see her?
No, who's that?
She was another one at the. I think. Well, I'm not going.
Well, comedy club, obviously, because.
Yeah. And she was average. There's a lot of people at this comedy club that are average, which gives me hope. You
for
know what I mean? Why?
Because for what? Hope for what?
Hope for.
That's a good, a future in stand-up comedy for yourself.
I don't think I want to be a stand-up comic.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a little bit like prostitution to me. Like it feels like. Like, it's fun to make people laugh, but can you imagine doing the same material over and over again?
I feel like you would probably make sure you did it a little bit differently each time.
But
kind of like musicians, they change their set, like, every performance.
I don't know, man. I feel like there's more repetition in stand-up comedy. Like, I feel like if a punchline works, there's not much, you might change, like, a word or two, but the actual joke itself is going to be the same. Kind of like a song. Like, a song is a chorus, is going to be the same, you know what I mean? I don't know. And then traveling from town to town to town to town. I don't know. Like, if you're in a band, it's, like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know.
I feel like with a band, it's, well, it's actually interesting because it's like a, it's a band is like an almost like an anomaly where if you're famous, if you become famous together. You're not
right
being famous by yourself.
Like
you
the
have
Beatles,
you have a, right. you have another you have a few other people to right. like have your back.
The Beatles had Paul, John, George, and Ringo.
Right.
They were together as a band.
Right.
But I mean, but your theory, it could be different because some bands are one person.
Well, I would label them as just musicians.
Right. So like Elton John, let's say, was like he did. I mean, I guess he had a band, but he probably changed them around a lot.
Right.
So that's a little bit different than having like a Beatles.
Having like a standard, like a consistent for like.
See, but it's a double-edged sword too, I think. Like sometimes with a band, you could break up easier because there could be friction in the band. Like traveling with a band could be problematic. Like Van Halen. It's a classic example.
Yeah.
It only lasted like 5 years, you know?
Well,
because David
Van Halen, I mean, like, they lasted. It's just he.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
David Lee Roth left.
And, right. But I mean, the first version of the band, which most people say is the best version of the band.
Oh, right, yeah.
So 78 until 84.
Mm-hmm. Sammy Hagar.
Because David Lee Roth is fucking crazy. Have you seen interviews with him? He's like nuts. Nah. Yeah, obnoxious to the point of you want to throw up on him.
You know, I had a thought on my way over here. Give myself another beer.
Yeah, you want a German beer or Blue Moon?
I think we'll switch to a Blue Moon.
Yeah, there's some Blue Moon. I think there's a Blue Moon in there.
We'll see. Oh, I think there's a bottle back there, but I think we're gonna...
All right, yeah. I mean, this could be hot. But yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, all right. I spent $13 on these German beers, and the Blue Moons are better.
Like, I might have another German beer.
Okay.
But so I had this thought on my way over about, you know, the Fab Four, the Beatles. British Mark, the Beatles were a band in England.
In the 60s.
Yeah. I've heard of them.
Had a few hits. They wanted to hold your hand.
But, you know, here's the thing. So a lot of people say, and we've said many times, they went out on top.
They
went on top. You know, they ended before they had the chance to decline.
Right.
Right.
They were close, but they saved it with Abbey Road.
They did.
I would say that Let It Be was actually a decline. I would say.
It was decline, but at the same time, the fact they followed it up, the fact that Abbey Road
saved after. It. Right. I know. Right. I'm just saying, if Abbey Road didn't happen, Let It Be was the last one, that could be considered like the Seinfeld finale.
Right, right.
Just saying.
It's one of those things where it's like, okay, they went out on top. It's like a lot of bands that go out on top before they get the chance to decline.
Right.
It's because something happens that causes them to like no longer function as a group.
Yeah.
And it's I can't think of a band that got to a point where like, let's call it a day. This was good.
Well, what about Cream? Cream had like 3 big records.
They did, but their last one, Goodbye, was pretty bad.
Yeah,
I'm not too familiar with their.
Yeah, I'm their not story, that either. But I mean, they called it. I'm just using it as an example because they called it quits pretty early on.
Well, they did, yeah.
Right. So I mean,
they might have actually. Yeah, they may actually. They actually may be making my point.
Okay. I'm just throwing out. You know, my job is to throw out examples.
Oh, okay.
Let's go with the Police.
The Police.
Okay, Police went out on a.
I feel like also there was dysfunction in them at that point.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But your premise is a band that goes out that decides to call it quits, even though there's no fights.
Yeah. Premature deaths.
But why would they stop then?
Well, that's the thing. It's like if a band is going to stay together,
right?
Like if they're enjoying it,
right?
It's pretty much inevitable that they are eventually going to hit a decline.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. For sure. Or just have really big ups and downs like Aerosmith,
right?
You know, that had a comeback in the '80s. I mean, I still don't think they were as good as the '70s. You know,
I'm gonna put some of the beers in here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, most bands hit a point where they're not very, there's something happens. I mean,
I think the problem is also, like, it gets to a point where it's like,
and then with, like,
a lot of their, they simply, a lot of their ideas get used, and then,
yes. Or if you're Queen, you just get AIDS.
Right.
You know, which was kind of cool in a way. I mean, I'm sad that he's dead, but it's a good way to go. Like, you're the first rock casualty to die from AIDS, so you're always going to be famous.
Pretty sure I heard that the way of dying from AIDS is actually pretty horrible.
No. It's very painful and horrible, but for a rock band to have, like, a death that's not normal,
right,
that makes them a legend.
Right.
So for legendary status, that's a great death.
Oh, great death.
Yeah. Like, I would almost want to have AIDS, you know, just because then I would be successful. Like, you'd be, oh, he was the podcaster, the Jewish podcaster that died of AIDS.
Yeah.
By the way,
he didn't have sex. He gave himself AIDS just to have
right,
AIDS.
Right, right. He gave himself AIDS. Somehow, he didn't have sex, but somehow he got AIDS.
Yeah.
Like, you know. By the way, there's this whole thing about, you know, AI, you know. That's the new thing.
Oh, I think, are we talking about the final Beatles song?
Well, we could talk about that, but I mean, I'm just talking about an AI as a term,
right?
You know, like as a, now everybody's saying that, you know, if we put AI to the test, they could write a song based on a band's previous songs, and it could be as good a song as the band,
right?
So, which is an interesting thought, you know, because I mean, the artist in me doesn't want that to be true, because you want to believe that the person has a soul and an innate talent that AI couldn't duplicate.
Right.
But AI is getting pretty damn close. Like, there's actually websites now where, like, you know, Biden and Trump they're just AI.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just having, like, massive arguments with each other, which sound completely authentic.
Yeah.
So AI is getting very close.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we could actually do a podcast where we are actually the AI, like, based, because we've done a lot of episodes.
Right.
Most of our themes are lack of sex, bands.
I would love to, like, feed, like, our show to an AI and just see.
Yeah.
Come up with an episode.
Well, yeah, totally. I mean, we could do it right now. Like, we could, like, a typical, like, if I was an AI of me and you were an AI of you. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to do, like, because we have repeated themes, right? So an AI would just be like, okay, I'm gonna look at the 75 or whatever episodes that we did. Okay, he talks about Ginny. He talks about, you know, girls that he almost had sex with, and you talk about, you know, I don't know, growing up in Ringo's, and, you know, like oh, you know, it'll just be, I mean, it'll be very easy for AI to do an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, it'll be like, okay, I'm AI right now, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Hey, everybody. No, that's you. No, okay, I'll be the AI of you.
Okay.
You be the AI of me.
Okay.
Okay, so this is like a new episode, okay? Okay. Hey! Hey, everybody. So here we are. I don't sound like I'm having an orgasm.
Ginny called me today.
Yeah? What happened?
That bitch.
Yeah?
You know, I was almost having sex and she called me.
Right.
But then I didn't have sex. You know, she still called me anyway. So I went to a comedy club.
Right, how did that go?
There's a guy who it was a really bad comedian.
Was he Jewish?
Yeah, he was Jewish. I can say something bad about Jewish people because I'm Jewish.
Right, right.
So I'm
right.
Not anti-Semitic.
Right, you're not anti-Semitic. But not that there's anything wrong with it. I mean, there is something wrong with it. Right, right. That would be for the gay people.
Right.
And I, you know, work is okay. I was listening to the Stones, you know, I'd say some of their albums are just as good as the Beatles, you know?
I can't believe you said that. That's like sacrilege.
Oh, look how excited you get.
You know, it reminded me of, like, when I was driving these old people around today.
You know,
that they're old.
You know,
a couple of them are black.
You know,
but I think...
You know, nowadays... You know, I was going to work and I had a thought.
Oh, did you have a thought?
I had a thought, yeah.
What were you thinking?
Well, I was going to Wawa, and, you know, I was thinking nowadays, you know, with the youth of today, you know, like, it's not what it used to be. Yeah, that's exactly like a typical right. episode.
That sounds like a good, that sounded pretty good.
Yeah, that was
we did it ourselves. We didn't need AI for that.
I know, but I think very, very soon AI will actually permeate, like, they'll create episodes. You know, because I bet AI could create, like, a good Miami Vice episode better than the show actually did. You know what I mean? I mean, or It's Always Funny in Miami.
It's Sunny in Philadelphia.
But the show would be called It's Always Funny in Miami.
Right.
People are actually freaked out about this AI thing. They actually are very concerned about it. That's going to take over the, you know... People actually,
I feel like a lot of people are concerned that it's going to take away like a lot of jobs. I feel like it in certain ways it could help.
Yeah,
but I mean, at the same time, I can understand why people would want to, why people would be freaking out. It's like it's weird before COVID. Back when I was going to graduate school,
right?
I forget which class I was taking, but there was a scenario that was brought up where, like, technology got to a point where, like, a lot of people would lose their jobs. And it's like, what does a world look like when, like...
Right.
Now, I think this was might have been, like, a high figure. But let's say 50% of people lost their jobs mm-hmm. and had no means of working anymore. It's like... And then they pretty much... defined four separate scenarios of what could potentially happen if that were the case.
Right.
And I remember reading this shit thinking, I don't ever want to be alive when we get to that. And it seemed like a year later we had COVID. And it just seemed like from there things have been progressing in a direction. My fear, if I am the fear of one thing,
mm-hmm.
it's not so much... AI taking over my job, because on one hand, I think, you know what? We as humans shouldn't have to work as often or as long as we
right.
have to.
Right. Right.
And the problem that exists is that a lot of people could lose their jobs,
right.
but they no longer have the financial means to support themselves.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly like the government. Granted, you had like the in COVID they had like
the government
checks, all that stuff.
Right, but right, right.
The government. It's not so much the fact that the government is not set up to help people to that extent
mm-hmm.
on such a prolonged.
Oh yeah, because there'll be a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't believe that they would even try to.
Right,
and that's the problem.
Yeah, so a lot of people will kill themselves.
Yeah, or in each other.
And each other, right.
Yeah.
Right. Or they just become Uber drivers.
Well, at the same time, it's like it's...
But then you have, like, cars that could drive themselves.
Self-driving cars.
Right,
cars,
right.
Yeah.
And then what does an Uber driver do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently Uber drivers, like, the bottom, you know...
Well, even then, it's like okay, so all of a sudden everyone starts to become Uber drivers.
Right.
That means people who are Uber drivers will be getting paid less
right.
than what they would now because there's an oversupply of drivers.
Right. Does stand-up comedy stand, though? There's the does the AI replace a comedian?
I don't see that happening, and only because a lot of good comedy comes from being human. I mean, I think AI could potentially replicate certain styles
right.
that
right.
are already existing, but
right.
every comedian has their own.
Right.
Style,
right. Right. Well, same with an art with a songwriter, right?
Right.
So, like, you can take like all the words of the Beatles and come up with a sort of a Beatles-ish type song, but it wouldn't have the soul of a John Lennon or a Paul McCartney, you know?
Right.
That's what we hope. Yeah. Like, unless AI just becomes like so amazing that it could just do everything.
I mean, like, I hear that they're planning on releasing one final song with the help
right.
of AI.
Right. Right. Right.
And I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm one of those people that to me, Free as a Bird and Real Love, I don't consider them part of the Beatles.
Right. Yeah. They're weak.
Their
way that John Lennon's voice sounds mechanical.
They were, and also the fact that John was not alive mm-hmm. when they did it. So it's, I don't consider them part of the Beatles right. canon.
Right, right, right.
So I wouldn't consider. I'll hear it yeah. when it comes out, but I won't consider it part of the canon.
It was a cute effort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, John Lennon's voice sounds mechanical. It doesn't sound like his voice.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's, you know, like he's dead and they did it through some weird...
He is dead,
but they... yeah, he is dead. It sounds even... He's even deader.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like it's, like, channeled through some studio mechanism that... Yeah. So it was... And the song itself was just okay, you know. It was just, like, very repetitive. Free as a bird. It's very repetitious.
Yeah.
So, like, it could be, like, a B-side on...
It really could have.
Yeah. But, you know, but Paul McCartney's still alive. And, you know, whatever he wants to do, let him, you know. So, but, yeah, this whole AI thing is, I don't really care. Like, if I didn't have to go visit my family next week and send an AI replica of myself, that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, maybe in a few years I could do that. Like, maybe they won't know the difference.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just show up there and be like, hey, family. Hey, you know.
So, hypothetically, what is the worst thing that happens if you don't go next week?
Well, then my whole family is like, well, you're part of the family, and if you're not there for Bobby's memorial, God damn it, which we've done a million times. I mean, I love the guy, you know, but how many eulogies do we need for a person? You know,
I'm sure even like in the afterlife, he's like, really?
Fuck no, he's like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard these stories before.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have anything new to say, don't say it, you know? And, you know, so I have to. I just, like, I'm what yeah. the worst that's going to happen is that they don't, I'm just going to have a worse reputation than I have now with them, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. I mean, like, it's not going to last forever. We're all going to die someday.
Oh, right, yeah.
And when I'm dead, I'm not going to hang out with my family in heaven. Like, you know, or whatever the fuck. Like, they might want to, you know, like, be together. Like, I don't see a reason. Especially now that my uncle's gone. Like, he was kind of like a lot of the glue.
Yeah.
Like, now, I mean, they're all fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Like, one after the other. My brother, he's older than me. Like, he can't figure out, like, the simplest things. He calls me up. He doesn't, you know, he calls me up to, like, to write a memory. Like, we all had to write a memory and put it in an article. There's a newspaper that comes out there. So we all worked on this article together. So he's like, what are you writing? I'm like, dude, I have my own memory. It's like, you can't come up with your own memory? He's like, well, maybe you come up with a memory together. I'm like, no, I sent my own personal memory. You write your own fucking memory. Like, what? You're older than me. You're supposed to be wiser than me. You know, you have more memories than I do. You lifeless bastard.
Something tells me, I'm going to take an educated guess.
Yeah.
Something tells me you weren't as hostile in your delivery
to me. I was pretty hostile. He called me. Because he only calls me when he needs something.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Yeah, and it's like, and he didn't even need me. He was just like, and you know what else he does? When he calls me, he'll put his family on the speaker.
Oh, God.
Like his kids. And like, and he thinks that they're so entertaining, like I could just be a part of the conversation. I just shut up because they're just like talking. I was at the store.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, so, you know, I don't want to be a part of their thing.
Yeah.
Like if who do they think they are that they can take my precious time? I'm on the aisle. I'm buying toothpaste.
Just shouldn't answer the phone next time.
Well, you know, I don't care. I'm not sweating this. I'm not
trying to sound like you.
No,
I felt sweat coming from you.
No, I'm not sweating this. I just like I don't. I'd rather not deal with them. That's all I'm saying. Like some people like their family, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I will. Look at that.
Yeah, we're almost.
It's almost like a therapy session where the therapist really says, is. "Time's up." You know, what have we learned from this episode? Well, I think we finished the Wawa story.
We definitely did.
We mentioned the Beatles, which we usually do.
Yeah.
Let's see what topics, like, I had, Zill goes to Wawa, AI meets as is.
Ah.
We got AI
meets AI. Artificial intelligence.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah. The Jew Bombs, Eulogy That Never Ends.
Oh, yeah.
Family. Oh, I didn't talk about... Ah, that's okay. Well, never mind. We might do another podcast someday. So listen, so happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th.
I hope that you have a wonderful, you know, hot dog eating.
Oh, yeah.
George Washington was great.
Right.
And keep chasing the sun.
Bye.